welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 100. Woohoo! Yay! Thank you. Thank you, Michael. For Saturday, March 14th, 2009, this is our, I'm calling our centennial episode celebration year, because for any podcast to hit episode number 100 is a significant milestone. I sure never would have thought that PHP BB Weekly would hit 100 episodes. Quite frankly, I was amazed when it hit 50 episodes. But here we are, a little over two years later, and it's our 100th episode of PHP BB Weekly, triple digits, whatever. We're celebrating. We're happy. And of course, for PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. I am your co-host, Douglas Bell. And that's where Michael speaks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had muted.
You're not used to that yet. We'll train you.
Oh, yeah. All right. I am Michael Cottingham.
Yes. And those of you who hadn't read our blog, David Lewis is taking a hiatus for a few month or two for work. And so Michael has very graciously agreed to step in and take David's place. In the meantime, you have some very big shoes to fill.
Yes, I do.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. Michael's obviously been in here very many times before. And, your forte, I believe, has been security.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Before. And so that's been – we'll probably end up talking a little bit about that today since I have not much else to talk about. We were hoping to find ways to celebrate this show by doing some things special. Didn't quite work out. We had a lot of people ask us for particular guests to come on, but was not able to get responses from people to be guests today. So that didn't quite work out. And other shows on their 100th episode have done cakes. They've partied. They've done stuff like that. Well, I do the show at 9 a.m. local time, so it's a little bit I don't usually have breakfast before the show, so it's a little early for cake.
It's never too early for cake.
It's too early to make a cake. I haven't had time to make a cake, even if I wanted to eat cake. I couldn't find any root beer nearby, and I don't do anything stronger than that.
So, yeah, root beer is great, though.
I have a small mug of hot chocolate. If I had time, I would have walked down to Starbucks or something. Get a little thing to celebrate there, but didn't have time to do that this morning. So, and also, the PHP BB teams have not had any news to report at all this month so far. Nothing. The last thing they had was from February 17th, I believe, change of license on the wiki, which is great, yes. It's like, okay, we changed the license on the wiki, whoop-de-doo. That's the last thing they've had since the site came back. And it's, for me, it's interesting. I would have thought they would have gotten a new release of a PHP BB 3 out by now, since the old one is now 3 months old, and for the last month and a half now, the CAPTCHA in 3.0.4 has been broken or cracked, and so I would have thought they would have pushed something else out now, since the new CAPTCHA has been sitting in Subversion for a little while.
Well, it should be interesting anyway. Let's see what they do.
So we're going to pull some stuff out of our hats to talk about today. If folks in the chat room that have joined us, if you have any suggestions for things to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. We might just end up having this be a short show. But, we're sort of partying in spirit. So let me get through our housekeeping. Excuse me. The PHP BB Weekly is recorded live every Saturday. At noon Eastern Daylight Savings Time, which is 1600 UTC. That might be why there's relatively fewer people in the chat room today, because we're technically an hour earlier because of this crazy Daylight Savings Time thing, which I've never quite understood, but whatever. If you do want to join us, the number to call is 724-444-7444. 844. The call ID number is 12418, and you can join us live on the show, share your comments or discussion, or just, you know, celebrate with us. Our chat room is also at talkshoe.com if you don't want to call in, but we would still like to comment and join our very lively chat room during the show. We also have an alternate IRC channel, phpbb-weekly on freenode.net, and you can stream the live show on our website, phpbbweekly.net. And, of course, our sponsor, once again, is GoToMeeting. You have to travel for business, but are you constantly feeling the wrath of flight delays and other problems? Well, there is an easier and more affordable way. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. All you got to do is log on to gotomeeting.com and start meetings with a click, and instantly everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's much less expensive and less time-consuming than meeting in person. Give it a free 30-day trial by going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts to start doing more and traveling less. So, with lack of stuff to talk about, Michael, this is your first time joining us in the co-host capacity. However, you left the PHPBB teams a while ago to go do other things. Just out of curiosity, what have you been up to since you stepped down?
Well, I am constantly in school. So I have been doing school work. Yeah. I'm currently working on my Bachelor of Science in Computer Science. Hopefully get some certificates in security. Working on various projects, personal projects, that hopefully will see the light of day soon. We'll see. And that's pretty much it. School's keeping me really busy right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. I do notice you are still quite active on the .com forums.
I am. Yeah, I try to be. I told them when I left that I still wanted to be as active as I could, even though I couldn't. Well, I didn't feel like I could dedicate the time required to the team.
It's a lot
because
of
school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So you major in computer science, any areas are you like specializing in right now, or?
The school that I'm going to doesn't really offer anything to specialize in. You can get certificates in security, which is one of the things I hope to work on.
Yeah.
Depends on the time and so on. But I'm just working on computer science right now.
Any plans when you're out for after school at this point, or?
There's a few things.
I'm kind of inquiring because, you know, I'm starting to think about that kind of realm for my own life myself.
Yeah, you're getting kind of close there.
Acceptance letters are just starting to roll in.
Well, I'm looking at a couple of things right now. Looking at getting to the FBI eventually and doing cybercrime.
Oh, wow.
So that will require at least 3 years with a police department before I can apply there. So either apply to the state police or somebody and work there for a few years and then apply to Quantico.
This being like a division of police or department dedicated towards, you know, looking at computer crimes or cyber crime, stuff like that?
Well, I don't know about anywhere else, but around here, the police departments either don't offer that because they don't have the people and knowledge and skill level to offer that, or if they do, you have to be on the road for a certain amount of years before you can go into that.
So you'd probably have to take on a job like as a more normal police officer, you're saying?
Yeah, I had to do street patrol before I can go in to specialized unit.
Okay. It's interesting. I have no idea that's kind of the path that the people took to get there. Yeah.
The other job I'm looking at is applying to IBM or HP or somebody and doing penetration testing for the government.
Penetration testing is like figuring out, you know, how people hack in and penetrate to these things and trying to stop that? Or?
Yeah, let me explain that. Sorry. What it means is that you try to break into computer systems or buildings. It can be physical or cyber security. And see what ways you can break in, and then go back and tell them what you broke into, how, and how they could potentially fix it. So you are basically like the bad guys, except that you go back and help them fix it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, I guess it's best of both worlds kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
because you aren't out to do harm, which is not something I'm interested in anyway. But you are there to help them make sure they're secure, and I'm sure you've heard a lot about businesses lately that have had credit cards stolen and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that any company that I do business with or anybody else does business with is not at risk for having personally identifiable information.
Yeah.
Stolen. So.
Yeah, it always amazes me the job that it takes, because it can take a team of people to keep a site secure. It only takes one person to find a hole and then exploit it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The military makes use of what's called tiger teams. Basically, same idea. They break into facilities and systems so that they can fix it before the bad guys find it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, so the last time we had you on was about a month ago or so. It was shortly after the PHPDB.com was hacked, and you had called in. It was mm-hmm. probably kind of hard because you were in the middle of a security conference, ironically enough.
Yeah, I was.
But you were talking a little bit to us about some of this stuff, the process of how you hack in for good purposes as opposed to the person who came on here just for malicious purposes, grabbing passwords and things like that. Since then, I don't know if you've seen it, but on David's Star Trek Guide site, they've launched a security class forum, which already has a number of different topics on some basic things people can do for security. I don't know if you have a chance to look at that yet.
I'm actually looking at it now. It looks like they have some good information there.
Yeah, so I know we were talking about, passwords a lot, because all the people that had very silly passwords. I mean, how many people, the most popular password being just password in all lowercase letters?
Yeah.
And so this one has a very good, there's a very good post here about, protecting your sites with real passwords. I don't know how frequently you work with that, or if you work with other aspects of security.
Right now I do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still trying to figure out what it is I want to concentrate in. Mm-hmm. I think I've finally narrowed it down to forensics and the penetration testing.
Mm.
But I still do things like securing systems and doing assessments, the penetration testing and vulnerability assessments. So it's just a wide variety of things that I still get my hands in.
Yeah, so I'm curious about when. Because one of the things we talked a lot about PHPBB3 is how in 2007 they got that big paid security audit done on it. What exactly is involved in doing a security audit, and how do you always want to make sure that a piece of software really is secure?
Well, I don't know what the company followed, but when I led the security audit for 2, which led to 2.88.18, I'm sure you remember that.
I remember that. That was a massive release.
That was a massive release.
Point, two character changes.
Yeah.
The code change a lot for that was fun.
I led that security audit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we did was what's called black box testing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you go through, you don't look at the source code, you don't really know anything about the system other than how it's supposed to act.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to determine ways that it can break by entering test data. And there's a lot more to black box testing, but I won't go into that here. Then we also did white box testing, or clear box testing, which is where you look at the source code and you try to find ways that the source code is not correct,
mm-hmm.
Paths that it could take that would break it. So we went through and organized the people who are involved and looked at the source code and found a bunch of things that need to be fixed. The company that was hired probably did something very similar. They went through their source code, traced the path of the source code, found ways that source code could have been misused, and they also probably did some black box testing as well. So it just things that you need to look at the source code for, and things that you may not find by looking at the source code because you don't understand it, or maybe the source code is different, or you know, whatever the case may be, and you need to do both.
So, as an example, I know that on that security class forum, David's posted a couple of these find the vulnerability topics. You know, he's sort of posted just some PHP source code, and you're supposed to sort of identify what the vulnerability is. For someone like me, who would probably not know where to look unless I was looking really carefully, what's probably the way you would approach solving that those kinds of things?
All right, let me pull up lesson one here and look at what he has.
And Strato was the one who got it first.
I won't go through everything here, so I just haven't really had a chance to look at the source code a whole lot. But you need to go through – one of the things that you look for is the source code doing some validation on entries. User input is the biggest thing that you need to look for. And so any point where there's user input, you look at and see if it's validated. Is it forced to be a number? Is it forced to be something without single quotes? You know, those types of things. I see here that there's SQL injection right off the bat because the post is used in an SQL query. And so it looks like there's a few other things. Looks like directory traversal on local file inclusion, maybe. So I just,
I wonder if he threw in all the those Spanish variable names just to kind of throw people off.
Probably.
Categorias, consulta, blah blah blah. I don't even think that's real Spanish. Probably is not. So it really seems to me like pretty much most of the for PHP anyway, most of the security things falls in the realm of user input into data and dealing with the database.
The vast majority of things is going to be user input. Now, I say vast majority because there are things that the code can do, such as race conditions, that are not necessarily controlled by the user. So that's something you need to look at as for as well. Things like buffer overflows are going to be things that user inputs, but not necessarily caused by the user, but rather caused by not writing the code correctly. You fill the buffer, and you overflow it, basically, because the buffer is a certain size, which the buffer is a holder. Won't go into memory and so on, but... So I don't want to scare your listeners, our listeners. But
it's a reality show.
So the simple way is a buffer is a holder, and you have a certain size that you set. And if you reach that certain size and then you try to push in more, you get an overflow because it can't hold that much. But what happens with that overflow is determined by the code that you write. And sometimes that overflow can cause code to crash and act funny, and then you can stuff in malicious code to make the system do things that you want. So buffer overflow is something that is user input, but is not caused by user input. It's caused by the way that you coded and didn't code things correctly. And so there's also race conditions and different things like that that need to be looked at.
So looking at, I was remembered, I reminded of looking, standing through here, there was about a month ago, a post on the PHPBB.com blog that Tara Frost wrote on injection vulnerabilities, and a number of these kind of reminded me of general injection vulnerabilities that the teams looked at back in PHP BB2 when I was on the mod team, although there were obviously some things that are now a little bit different on there. And it sort of it looks like it talks, you talked a bit about SQL injection and how you have to be securing user inputted data so that they can't then sort of take control of those SQL queries. What about HTML injection or XSS? I know I heard a lot about that. It was sort of a number of security fixes during the PHP BB2 line were XSS injections. What is involved in that?
So what happens is, again, it's user input, of course, and you can inject JavaScript, VBScript, Flash, whatever, HTML, and have the user's browser execute that in the context of the website and have them do things, download a virus, or there are certain kits that you can create a botnet from the user's browser. Basically, anything that JavaScript, Flash, and so on can do, you can have the user's browsers do and do it maliciously. So that's a big problem when you come with CSRF, which is cross-site request forgery. You can have things done in the user's context, meaning that if the user is logged into a bank, for example, and you have CSRF vulnerabilities in the bank's website, you can execute as that user without them knowing and withdraw money or create a new account or delete account or whatever the case may be, and the user not know it while they're doing it.
Is this similar to like phishing sites?
Not really, because phishing websites are more social engineering. They rely on the fact that the user may not understand or realize that they are on a different website.
So phishing sites are really more for the trying to obtain the username and password of a user.
Whereas
this is more of, once a user is logged in, then an external website could go in and use that user's permissions to do malicious stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. It's making a little more sense now.
So there's a lot of XSS and CSRF crossing over there, but
of course this must be probably more serious for like in the context of PHPBB, probably would be more serious for like administrators than it would for an average user.
Yes, one of the things that PHPBB has seen in the past is vulnerabilities in the BB code, because version 2 allowed HTML. The parser could be broken in such a way by an attacker that it would be it would allow the XSS to be posted, and then you would have people downloading viruses and so on.
So I think I was always wondering for PHP BB2 it allowed HTML, but didn't it still only allow limited HTML tags, ones that administrators pre-approved, or does this provide a way of getting around that?
Yes, it required pre-approved tags, but in the pre-approved tags, there were ways to break the pre-approved tags so that you could inject your own code.
You're like using like attributes that went into those tags, or was it just a different?
Yeah, just different things. One of the things was an attribute you could set in the tags. And so the parser, both the BB code and the HTML parser, were basically on their last leg anyway. And so I'm guessing that's one of the things that they looked at when they decided to drop to. Just is so hard to fix. If you look at the code, you wonder how it even worked.
I can't believe that. For PHP BB3, where administrators are able to customize their own BB codes, how does that therefore protect against the possibility of the parser being taken advantage of in this way?
If you write your code, or your pseudo code for the BB code correctly.
Yeah.
Meaning the user creates their own code.
Yes.
You can make it so that they can't put in script and various arbitrary HTML. Now, there are ways, because PHP provides the text instead of simple text. Well, they provide both, but if you use the text instead of the simple text in certain circumstances, you can actually cause XSS to happen.
Mm.
I think David has talked about that on his board before. But for example, if you create an A tag with the text,
mm-hmm.
for example, to do links within the page, mm-hmm. anchors.
Oh, yeah.
You can cause XSS to happen because you use text instead of simple text.
Hmm.
So that's one of the many things that you can do if you're not careful.
Is there probably guidelines somewhere for just people? Certainly, they should probably not do a custom DB codes in that case.
Yeah, there.
I know they have a running topic of custom DB codes that one can copy and use on their own board. So it's probably a good idea. It's a good place to take advantage.
Yes, it is. And I believe in the min panel they have text saying something along the lines of "Do not use text if you don't know what you're doing."
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things they do. And I personally would like them to see, create a form or a blog post or something outlining things that users need to be careful of when they create custom BB code, because while the parser is very good at checking for those things in standard BB code, user inputted custom BB code can cause issues because that's what they wanted to allow, and mm-hmm. they don't realize that they're allowing other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. And the other thing which was here on this blog post talking about include injection in here. And so I presume this has to do with how PHPBB has the in PHPBB constant that is defined, and then pages that aren't loaded directly check for those in PHPBB constants to be defined. But how could that still be taken advantage of within PHPBB or just any program?
All right, so when you talk about local file inclusion and remote file inclusion, you are talking about overriding variables
mm-hmm.
That are not checked for being overwritten. For example, in version 2 again, there were a few vulnerabilities with the PHPBB root path, where the root path in mods was not checked before being sent to the rest of the code.
Mm.
And so users could modify that and have them include malicious code and have that code execute to create backdoors or include things on the file system to get information from the file system.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that the constant tries to do, or should do if you're writing mods, is you check, see if that constant is set, and then set your root path stuff.
Yeah. And I presume this part must be because if the constant is actually defined, then there'd be another file that would also have defined the PHPBB root path somewhere on the line.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Of course, I don't have code in front of me, so I can't give specifics.
Well,
but
okay. I'm looking at this blog post, so.
Yeah. That's one of the things that you should do is make sure that your root path is set. And you start talking about scope and global scope and so on when you start talking about file inclusion. But that's one of the things you can do is make sure that your root path is set and that you check the in PHPBB constant.
Mm-hmm. So what is there a difference between like include and include once functions have something to do with this in a way?
Not necessarily with this. Include once or more performance. Include, I think, tries three times to include a file, whereas include once, let me see, back up here. No, require, okay, require tries include the file three times because it's required, and include tries once.
And
but
require, if it can't, then it's like a fatal error or something like that.
Yes. Close. Yeah. But include, I got off topic, I was thinking wrong. Anyway, yeah. Include once, if the file is already included, it doesn't include it again.
Okay, yeah. I'm remembering this now. it's been a while since I've been doing this code stuff. I need to catch up.
Yeah, I'm busy at school. Include includes it regardless. And so that's... I think there's also a wiki post about it as well. I'm sure someone in the chat will check for me and double check. But anyway, so one of the things that they say in the blog or wiki post is that you should use include once instead of include because, or you shouldn't. I don't remember.
Oh, dear. I don't think it's said very clearly.
I guess I should go look it up, but basically, include once will go and check and see if the file is already included. And this is where you could have multiple inclusions and then not include it again, which is something to be careful in your code if that's happening. You need to rewrite your code.
Yeah, because I know I've had cases sometimes where I had multiple includes going on, and it kind of screwed, and it really did screw things up. So I've kind of personally found include once is a little easier to deal with.
Yeah,
because if for me, you know, when I was doing PHPBB mods, there's files that included all over the place in multiple files. There's a lot of files that are called upon in order to load it for just a single PHPBB page. So you know, it's hard to tell sometimes if the file you want has already been included or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like to include once for that. So, overall. There's a number of comments on there, you know, just things that mod authors can do to keep their PHPBB secure. But if you go back to that security forum, there's a lot of things that anyone can do to help keep their board secure. And probably the best example we talked about a month ago and is here again, you know, have safe passwords. get a pro.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, two examples of programs, one for Windows called KeePass and the other for Mac called 1Password, which I use to, you know, put together very secure, hard to guess, very random passwords that can keep things secure. I mean, and the only thing I find difficult is it's best really for me to have a way so I can get to them. Like if I have to log in to certain things on an external computer, as an example. But there are other things where it's like, you know, if you want to log into your bank's website or to PayPal or to something very secure, don't do it on you. Those kinds of things you can wait on until you get home.
Yeah, the problem, well, I somewhat disagree with that, and let me explain why. The reason I disagree with that is because if the password is so complex that you can't remember it when you need it, then you may have problems. For example, there may be an emergency where you have to log into your banking website via your phone or somewhere else.
Yeah.
And if you can't remember your password, you're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that the more I go mobile with my iPod Touch, which I absolutely love, you know, there's applications for Mint and so on. I can go in and check when I'm on the road or something. When I have wireless, and check my Mint account.
Mm.
And you know, if I have a password that is 25 characters long and I can't remember it, then you know, what good is it going to do me?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea then if that really is your lifestyle to get something that can go mobile. It's like 1Password, for example. I know they have a free iPod Touch iPhone app that works on
okay.
there that can take those things along with you. And that is really one of the reasons that I am still behind in getting very secure passwords. I mean, I will be honest, the password to my email, password to my forums is not as secure. I won't tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly better than it was when I first started using the internet, but it's still a memorable password, passwords. And so I haven't taken it secure because these are often things that I will, you know, go onto a computer at school, log on there, and how am I supposed to know? And I can't remember a very hard, long, complex password. I know that there used to be an online service I used that, you know, encrypted passwords, you know, double encrypted passwords, and you could go onto their online service where from any computer and take a look there. But they kind of stopped doing that. That service ceased to be offered. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, that's kind of difficult because right now, you know, passwords are becoming probably one of the most important things for everything we do, but it's not like our social security number where we can memorize it because we're told you should have different passwords and very complex passwords on different websites. And for the record, probably as a tip, probably one of the worst passwords, other than very easy passwords, don't use your social security number as your password, okay? That would be bad. That would be very bad.
Very, very bad. And my old bank used to do that.
Really?
They would have a web interface, which was what I call bank in a box, because you would buy the website from a company that developed banking websites.
Yeah.
And by default, it was your social security number was your login name.
Oh, boy.
And your password was whatever you set.
Mm.
And one day, the code broke in an update, I guess.
Oh,
and
boy.
It was passed in through a GET instead of a POST. So that means that your social security number was in your browser history.
Uh-huh.
And so that is really, really bad.
Yes, it is.
So that's one of the reasons why I moved to a different bank.
I would say that'd be a good idea. No, when I just fill out the FAFSA, the Federal Student Aid thing, they actually their login is your day of birth, the first two letters of your last name, and your social security number. That's it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how good that is or not. But, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone knows my social security number. But the other two, you know, it's pretty easy to find out that I was born on September 28th, 91, and that and the first two letters of my last name is B-E.
Yeah.
There's two-thirds of the login form right there.
Exactly.
Just figure out my nine digits and you're good to go. And how easy is it to do that? Well, probably... The card is in the basement in my house, so
yeah.
Hopefully my home doesn't get, you know, knocking on wood.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it could go a little bit better than that.
I hope so. Just be careful. One of the things that I was finding annoying with complex passwords being so difficult you can't remember them is that. People would write them and stick them on their monitor or under their keyboard or something like that. And that completely defeats the purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, and quite frankly, I mean, on the one hand, it's certain passwords you do need to be able to get to in certain places. And I think this is something that this is why really investing in one of these programs is a great idea because you need to be able to have certain passwords available to you. But if you, quite frankly, having them secure is a good thing, and if you getting one of these things which encrypts a database of passwords together is actually just so much of a lifesaver, because you know it doesn't forget stuff as easily as your head does. Your head may be the most secure place of all, but then you know it doesn't have very big massive storage for long term times.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. So. That's definitely probably one of the biggest things that a user could learn from the PHPBB outage is get a secure password, get a safe password, and I mean hopefully we're really still at the point where many people have yet to really learn modern day computer etiquette. A lot of people are really still back in the early 2000s, back when you know the website was a secure place. Which that's kind of the era that PHPBB2 was developed in. So I mean, I work with adults a lot, and it's interesting trying to you know chat with them about you know modern day computer etiquette. A lot of just the people skills you have these days with computers is so much different than it was once upon a time.
And I actually prefer interacting with people. I prefer talking on the cell phone as opposed to texting.
Oh,
I prefer
you're here.
You know, walking to their door as opposed to instant messenger. You know,
I'll pick up the phone. You know, I don't text.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't text. Never.
Yeah,
texting is probably one of the biggest ripoffs of is the biggest ripoff of the cell phone industry. It doesn't cost them anything to do them, so why they charge so much is beyond me.
Yeah, I like texting for some things. If I'm trying to work up a study group for a class, I can't always call them because they're in class or they're at work or something. So we'll exchange text messages and set up times and so on.
While they're in class?
Yeah, that's not necessarily a good idea, and I don't encourage it. But
I just turn the phone off. Okay, I'm serious. If you call my cell phone and leave a message, I say, "Hello, you've reached my cell phone." However, I actually believe in turning my cell phone off from time to time, which is why it's just what the case is right now. So please leave a message, and I will get back to it eventually.
Yeah, I don't do it.
I've had to show an adult how to turn his cell phone off before.
Really?
Did not realize that you could turning your cell phone off, and then when it was off, it was like I'd taken his heart out of his body or something like that. It was like, it has to be connected. It's like, no, live life. Get away from it. Come on. And this is a 40-year-old adult, too. I mean, these things weren't exactly around when he was a kid. Oh, boy. Okay, Michael, I congratulate you. You have proven to have the same ability as David to help me in taking a small topic and make it last for a very long amount of time.
All right.
Which is a good thing for all that we have to talk about today. Very briefly, 2 weeks or so ago, there was a blog post on the phpb.com blog about Area 51. Sort of the step sibling of phpbb.com, which most people probably don't notice except when there are phpbb.com outages. But you know, it actually serves a couple of purposes, and I don't know if you have any more insight on Area 51 than I do. Probably not much.
I don't really visit Area 51 a whole lot.
Yeah.
What time I can spend on phpb.com is spent on the main site.
Yeah.
And so I don't pay attention to a whole lot anymore, but I used to be on Area 51 a whole lot. And as PHPB 2 and 3 were evolving, I'll go and participate and answer questions and ask questions and so on. It's really fun, especially when things start evolving for the next version, which will be 3.2 coming up.
Eventually.
When they start putting things up, you'll start seeing things change radically, and it'll be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. I remember when it was the development for 2.2 at the time, and just kind of get an idea of the stuff then. It was actually still kind of caveman-like compared to what PHPB 3 is now, particularly on the posting form. It looks quite a bit different then.
Yes.
So, right now, according to them, 3.2 is still at kind of an unstable stage. It's not yet able to be run in even a testing environment like Area 51 is at this point.
So
they're still running through .NET. I personally discovered Area 51 just to see what EasyMod was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now that form is locked because they're not supporting PHPBB2 anymore, and AutoMod lives on the main site.
Yeah. Let's see. I think, I'm not currently logged into Area 51. But you can find some really old posts about them hatching plans for 2.2 and 3.
Yeah.
Playing jokes and having fun at the user's expense sometimes.
I can believe that, yeah.
But you can go and find how things have evolved, because this is the development site, so things are going to happen faster and differently than the main site will. The main site is supposed to be stable, and they even say that Area 51 may be down from time to time because it is running unstable code, which isn't right now because...
The ironic thing is that they said right now the main site's actually getting updated more frequently than Area 51 is.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Well, because on the main site, I mean, they just pipe in changes oftentimes before they're released as real releases. I believe like the post queue was up a little shortly before they released that as in 3.0.3, if I recall correctly. And as for Area 51, that's not currently going. That's currently not updating as Subversion very much. So they're probably just updating that with the point releases as it go along.
Yeah, and they will probably update things more when it gets to a point where they can put on 3.1.
Yeah.
And I see David has hopped into the chat.
Oh, I've not been looking at the chat recently. I wonder if he's on. I mean, this is David on Skype briefly. He said he was going to try to show up on a 100th episode if he could. Just to say hi.
Hi, David.
He's still ringing. He slapped you. I wasn't supposed to know that David was here. Well, I'll redirect it to voicemail. What the heck? Okay, hi, David. Anyway, I guess he doesn't want to join us on the show. Anyway, how goes your work, David? Have you gotten any sleep in the last week or two? Waiting for him to frantically type his response. Or not. Oh.
Yes.
You're the one that came in the chat room, David.
For those who are going to listen to this later, yes, we're having one-way conversations. Just say no.
Hey, we're used to it. This is how I tell people to call in all the time. They never do. I just type in the chat room, and then I just talk to them through the chat room. It's what Skype. We are recording already. Yes, we have. David, don't you remember this thing about daylight savings time? We have been recording for the last 50 minutes almost. You are here. What were we talking about? We're talking about Area 51. I was about to say, at this point, I mean, obviously you can't take anything that the team said as hints on actual times, but I know that on the blog post they were saying Area 51 is still running on the current SVN. It's likely to stay that way for at least the next 6 months or so until it's updated to use the 3.1.x SVN repository. So it seems to me, perhaps, that it's likely that the expectation of a 2009 release of 3.2 might be a little bit early, perhaps, because we probably need to get a fairly stable just development version of 3.2 going before they can get it up to the point where they could release a beta. So we might be more reliably looking at a 2010 release, is my best guess at this point, unless suddenly they get, you know, turbo engines going in the development team and they really get moving like full time. If I can, that would mean I'd be seeing like 40 or 50 Subversion update check-in emails a day on my thing. That might not be the best thing for my email client.
I haven't.
Who's Bertie Gorbachev? Who is Bertie Gorbachev, David? I'm sorry, I cut you off, Michael.
He's an alien, huh?
Oh, dear. So that must be the thing. David and Francis have been abducted by aliens, and he just used the excuse of work because his alien captives made sure that he said that. Area 51 is an alien? Oh, I so wish I could archive these talk show chats. Okay, we've had enough discussion of Area 51. The aliens are there. Go check it out. Area 51. We'll definitely keep an eye on. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll start to see 3.2 going on there. But it's no kind of an. We do keep just too close of an eye on the phpbb.com blog because it gives us stuff to talk about. You know, and it's interesting. We were looking at the 100th episode. One of the reasons I would never have thought this show would reach 100 episodes. And actually, I had a lot of doubters. They asked me, you know, you do a show about PHPBB. How do you have stuff to talk about? Where do you get stuff to talk about? Sometimes we don't, as is the case on this show. We don't. We try to come up with stuff to talk about. And that really is the case. We just try to cover news. There's other things we can bring up, but this is an example. Someone posts a thing on the blog, and we just talk about it because it's a way to fill up the show. But hey, it's lasted 100 episodes. I would be surprised if it reaches another 100 more, because that would put us into like the year 2011. I have no idea where we will be then, but hopefully David will be back on the show by episode number 200.
Yeah. I remember talking on PrevueCast about wanting to do a PHPB podcast.
That was remember that? That was like 2 or 3 years ago. We were doing like a roast on aboutus.org, which apparently still exists. Yeah. It still
unfortunately.
Exists, but it looks completely different now.
Oh really? I haven't been to it. I just it's not good to it anymore.
Right now they have this like it's like this nice big green thing on there now. Whereas before it was just like a Wikipedia ripoff or something like that. But yeah, you know, I'd be curious. PHP. Nope. They have not heard of phpweekly.net before.
And you are going to get the bot to visit you, and then you have to go and take it off.
I noticed that. phpweekly.com is certainly up there. That has nope, it hasn't changed.
Hmm.
No, in fact, I wonder. Okay, so the domain holder of webmaster.info has decided to have no computer bot generated information about their site on About Us.
Nice.
Because that was back when I put up a deleted the whole page and put up a rant, a personal rant on there. I guess they're taking the rant down, but.
Yeah, I got into an editing war when they had MediaWiki on their site with my site. They kept saying I was being malicious because I was editing my own site. So I got a fighting war with them.
MichaelCottingham.com. The website owner has elected not to initialize their aboutus.org page with content from their website. We apologize that this page is more sparse than other pages on aboutus.org. If you are familiar with this website, we would like to invite you to contribute your thoughts and constructive comments. Just click any of the edit links.
Yeah, I guess nobody thinks enough of my site to do it, but that's okay with me.
In the meanwhile, there's an ad on the right side that says, you don't own these domain names yet.
Yes.
That's kind of creepy. It's like, what, I'm going to sign up for your service, and then you're going to come and find the current owners of these domain names, beat them up in the middle of the night, and then take their domain names and give them to me? Michael, you better watch out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Miroslav Glavik says he wants an aboutus.org t-shirt.
What?
We ought to make a PHPBB Weekly t-shirt, I think. That'd be kind of cool. So I don't know if we can get the... I'm not sure if our usage of the Mars image that comes from Vlad Gerasimov, I don't know how to pronounce his name, goes that far in terms of being able allowed to use that. So we probably won't do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's stop ranting and let's stop muting. Let's actually get to the end of the show. Last week's poll question of the week was the ever so popular question, what's your favorite web browser? Well, probably not surprisingly, Firefox came out on top. 6 people voted for Firefox. That's 55% for Firefox. 3 people voted for Safari, 27%. 1 person voted for Internet Explorer. Interestingly enough, I would not have expected that because Internet Explorer cannot load phpbbweekly.net correctly. It butchers it. It looks awful, Internet Explorer. It looks okay in Firefox, though. Some of the things kind of have a blinky. It just blinks a little bit as you scroll the page. Safari really loads our site the best. And one person voted for, I seem to have an inability to pick a web browser and stick with it. And not one person would have been me. because I have, like I said this before, I have yet to use a single web browser consecutively for a full year. I've used Firefox 3 since it was released in June of 08 until about a month ago, 3 weeks ago or so. And then I switched over to Safari 4 once it came out, and I'm actually really liking it. The tabs on top is really nice, which I got used to very quickly, and some of the other things, and HTML5 support and all that. It's just so, who knows? Then Firefox 3.5 will come out sometime in the future, and then I might end up switching back to that. Who knows about how that'll work out.
So have you ever tried Flock?
I downloaded it once, but I think I tried it like a day, but I don't use social networking stuff enough.
Yeah,
to get used to it. Frankly, when I use it, I don't want it sitting right where it can get to me very quickly, I get distracted easily. It's a little harder for me to get distracted when I actually have to work to get to the distractions. And as for Twitter, I'm just happy with Twitterific.
So, yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I've downloaded TweetDeck and use that, but I've stuck with Firefox for a while, and I think I'm going to stick with it. I just don't like Internet Explorer, and not sure I want to use Google's browser.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I'm really starting to recommend Safari to people, and it's even now getting to be. They've now actually made it look like it's something worthwhile on Windows now. Even such, they've now made it look like a Windows app. So.
Oh, that's good.
Because
I'm
a big stickler for web standards, and you know, Safari is at the moment, I believe, the only browser that has gotten a perfect score on the ACID 3 test.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you get the new 4 version, it has a perfect score on the ACID 3 test.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I might have to check that out then.
You should definitely do that. So, and I think Google uses the same WebKit engine or something like that, but I don't know. Seeing Google's Chrome's terms of service seemed kind of awkward. You know, probably if you know, I've mentioned before Patrick O'Keefe's book, and he talks about the holy trinity of controversial discussions on forums, that being religion, politics, and web browsers. Oh, I have participated in more than a couple of browser wars in my day. The problem is, every time I switch, then I become like a cheerleader for the next browser. On that previous
thing
I had, when the original Safari for Windows came out, we had a half-hour browser war. Half-hour browser war. I was saying it was a bad idea, and he said it was a good idea. Earlier on, like the week before you came on, we had a bet. Because I was entering a 33-mile bike race, and my co-host didn't think I could make it. So if I made it, he had to use Firefox for 3 days straight. And if not, then I had to use Safari for 3 days straight. And I won the bet, so he had to use Firefox for 3 days straight, and he hated Firefox. At the time, I was using Firefox too, and I was loving it.
There you go.
So, goes to show how browsers are just the funnest things to get angry over. And I'm really curious. I'm hearing a lot about IE8. Supposedly, that's actually supposed to get very big on web standards, but I'm interesting to see.
Yep. And apparently, Firefox 3.5 beta is out. 3.5 beta 3.
I've heard about that.
Is out.
Yeah, they decided no. Safari's went to version 4, and they got HTML5 support, so Firefox is like, now, okay, we will go straight to 3.5 now, and we'll throw in HTML5 support.
Well, they do have some HTML5 support with the offline stuff.
Yeah.
But they obviously don't have all of it, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I really think at this point, Internet Explorer is really out of the race. The only reason they have the high market share they have is because it's the default browser on all installations of Windows. It's all it has going for it. That's really all it has going for it. And Safari is picking up now since it's the default browser on the iPod Touch and iPhone. That's helping it to pick up quite a bit. I think Firefox is a very good example. You know, the best way to win is to build a better product. People will come to it.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what Firefox has done. And Safari is kind of catching up, but it's just nice to see so much more after the Internet Explorer and Netscape browser wars of the 90s. It's just so much nicer to have so much more, so many more picks to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mod of the week. Mod style of the week. Mod of the week is User Reminder by Lefty74. This is a nice little mod to have for users who have become inactive. If they have not logged in for a while, or if they have registered but they have not posted yet, or if they did activate their account but they've never logged in since then, or if they give it, then you can remind them, hey, you are still a member of our community, or if people have not responded to the first reminder, you can send them more reminders, and so essentially you can. It has ways you can. So essentially, you know, you have users that are sitting around and you want to get them involved, but they've kind of forgotten about your site. Send them a reminder. There's features you can choose to manually remind users or send out automatic reminders. There you can delete users manually if they are sort of not responsive. And there's also ways you can protect users from being reminded, so that if users are like don't want to hear from you, then they can do that, I guess. I'm sure there's a lot more to the mod than I have time to read from just the description, but you know, now that we're 100 episodes old, we're getting used to the idea of being around for a long time. So, a mod for users that have been sitting around and doing nothing for a long time. Lefty74 makes very good mods, and so this is looking at the screenshots of the configurations for this mod. There's quite a lot of options available here. Now you can remind people with no posts and active users and activated but never logged in users. So nice little mod to try out. User Reminder by Lefty74 is the mod of the week. And finally, I know that spring is coming soon. I think the first day of spring is like next week or something like that, somewhere on the line. But this mod is for those who like autumn. It's called Autumn's Color by Bilster Styles, and it is based on Pro Silver. A lot of use of orange and green. However, it has a very nice background of just some trees with color-changing leaves. During autumn, probably the leaves are about to fall. Has some nice autumn leaves sort of in the background, with kind of a grid-like background. I don't quite understand where the grid comes from. And some of the other icons that are sort of like leaves and some harvest-like colors. And so, for those of you who do not like spring and summer and cannot wait for autumn to get back here again, here is a style for you. Autumn's Color by Bilster Styles is the style of the week. And if, Michael, you want to say anything about them, you can feel free to chime in. But pretty much people can go check the links on our sites. It's hard to describe. I've told this to David many times, but it's very hard to describe styles. You really have to look at them to get an idea of what they are, as an example. Oh, boy. I have so gotten the... The browser wars are really going now in our chat room. According to David, you can find yourself developing for the web, creating hacks for IE6, or creating hacks for IE7. He is withholding his judgment of IE8 until he sees what kind of flaws they decide to create.
Or leave.
Oh boy, okay, David, as soon as IE8 is released, you are on for giving us a comprehensive analysis of IE8. and now, whatever happened to Opera? Who knows? I never really paid attention to Opera. I think I tried them for like an hour. That was like, forget it. That was like years ago, though. So. And so that's the end of our 100th episode of PHP EBB Weekly. I would like to thank Michael for being willing to stick around on here. I hope I haven't scared you away too much yet.
No.
So you'll be back with us next week?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to have to call your cell phone in that case, right?
Yeah, the school network blocks Skype, so.
It's annoying. It's very annoying. Hopefully, wherever I end up going, they don't block Skype, because otherwise I won't be able to do the show. We'll see. Next week's episode, Saturday, March 21st at noon Eastern time, 1600 UTC time, will be our next episode. And we are not going to be talking about security every single week. I've got a couple of people I'm going to contact, see if we can get some guests on for the first time in a long time on this show. We have not had a lot of guests joining us recently outside of the PHPBB team, so that should be fun. And we'll have information on our site when we get to that. Speaking of which, our website, phpbbweekly.net. Check out show notes, links to everything we talked about on this show, as well as all of our past 100 episodes now. And, of course, our forum at StarTrekGuide.com, the PHPBB Weekly podcast forum. You can chime in. And, of course, PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Check out techpodcasts.com for other great technology podcasts. A big thanks to everyone that joined us in our chat room today. To help celebrate our 100th episode, deep fried pickle hearts for everybody today in celebration of numero 100. And I'm probably going to go find a way to celebrate having dedicated a full 100 Saturday mornings to doing this show. David, we are not 100 years old. Yeah. And interestingly enough, a glass of root beer. Thank you, David. You knew I love root beer. I'm probably going to get one later. It's not really our anniversary, because our anniversary was back in January. It was our two-year anniversary then. 100 episodes. I am just so amazed. I am beside myself. That said, thanks for joining us. Michael, thanks again. And we'll see. And I'm Douglas Bell. And remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag, you're it.
You're it.
Thanks. You got it down. Good job.
All right.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.